Hello and welcome to Layup Lines. I'm your host, Caleb Lay. I'm an editor at the Cardinal and Cream. And joining me as always, my co-host, Nick Velasquez.
How you do?
Hey man, so we had a rough road trip that just went down.
Yeah.
The first game was at Valdosta State. You guys, they're the top team in the conference, and you guys took them to overtime.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first half, we felt like they didn't really respect us, and we ended up going up 20 in the middle of the half with still like some time to go, and by the end of the half they had cut it down a little bit to about 12-13, and we kind of just gave it away in the second half and made some mental mistakes, couldn't get some stops at the defensive end. And they ended up pushing it to overtime. So after that, we kind of just fell apart in OT, and we had our chances to win the game, but we just didn't capitalize, and that's the way basketball goes sometimes.
Yeah, an interesting thing about that game was Alex Kiel had maybe his, I don't know if it was his best, it might have been his best game of the season.
Yeah, it definitely was. He played great. He played with a lot of confidence. When he came in the game, he gave us really good minutes, and especially for people coming off the bench, that's what we really need from people coming off. So he did his job and really helped us out that night.
Yeah. And then Saturday, you guys had the West Florida game, and I actually didn't get to watch the game. I wound up listening to it on the radio on my way back from, I was working in Union City.
Oh, okay.
And I was driving down a dark highway. It was two lanes, and there was no lights on the street at all, and there was fields beside me, so I couldn't see anything. It was just a dark abyss.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just listening to the game as it's winding down.
I hate roads like that, though.
Oh, yeah. It's creeped so
miserable. Me out.
Yeah.
It creeped me out.
It's miserable, and the scenario is miserable, and then I'm just listening as it's like the time is ticking off, and I'm keeping hope, and then finally Gary Neese, the guy who calls the radio stuff, just goes, and the game is over. And I just was like, oh my gosh, I just turned off the radio and just drove in silence the rest of the way back.
Yeah. I mean, that game, we didn't play that well at all, but still yet we maintained a lead throughout the whole game. And there was one point in the second half, they just took the lead and we couldn't really get it back. And we was just playing catch up the rest of the game, but that game too, we had a lot of defensive mistakes and just scouting report issues that we should have known, and we went over, but it just in the game it didn't work out that way. So that was really on the players and stuff like that, and we gotta really be better about taking that stuff more seriously. So that was definitely a game that we could have won, though.
Yeah. I thought both of them were games you guys... I mean, I think you guys can beat any team in the conference
given night. When we're all on it, we're clicking at all cylinders, we think we can beat anybody.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Even Valdosta, even Huntsville.
Those two, we both let both of those games slip away, so...
I know. It's one of those things where... It's great that you guys are talented. It's not like you guys are ranked eighth in the conference. It's like, well, you know, we're eighth. I'm sure for Niven and Leidick, it's, you know, they're probably more frustrated or just like feeling the nerves of like, all right, now we have to play well in conference play. But the thing is, they're not coaching a team that's like, you guys can do that. You guys can go into the conference tournament and do really well.
Yeah, no, we feel the same way. But we had that rough patch in the middle of conference where we dropped those four straight.
Yeah.
And then we picked it up with four straight wins. And then these last two just let them get away. So
it happens.
But, I mean, like Coach said, he can tell that we're still trying to do the right thing and try to play the right way. So it might not have worked out for us this weekend. But if we continue to do the things that we've been doing, he still thinks that we can turn it around in the end. So we still have that hope, and we're still practicing hard like we're the number one team in the conference.
That's right. Yeah, Niven is very, he's so much about the process.
Yeah.
You can even hear it when JJ is on the bench sometimes, and he'll say something like, it doesn't matter if you scored, you didn't run the, like I'll hear JJ goes, it doesn't matter if you scored, you didn't run the play right.
Right, yeah.
It's really fun. it's one of those things where, for a lot of people, it's the, you know, the ends justify the means, and for Niven, it's no, like, the way you do it matters just as much as, like, the result.
Right, no, and he's been preaching that to us since day one.
Yeah.
So.
But I also want to talk about road trips. You guys have been on quite a few, really, in the last month and a half.
Yeah, we really have.
And so that's kind of just, you know, you guys had a lot of home games kind of there in the beginning, which I thought was, it was great for me. Because I was only able to go on the one road trip with you guys when you guys played Auburn Montgomery and Southern Miss at the beginning of the season. And that was your guys' first road trip.
Right.
It was, I don't know, it didn't feel, I just had a feeling that, yeah, most of the road trips aren't going to probably be quite like this one because you guys played a D1 school in a game that didn't matter for you guys. In terms of, like, it wasn't going to affect your record or your standing at all at the end of the season. And I don't know. I felt like at the end of the season, you guys were going to be either way tighter or if the season were to fall apart, which it didn't, it would be an even it would be almost like everyone was just really cold towards each other. But, yeah, it was just there was some tension there of just, like, all the guys are new. This is their first time on a road trip with the Union team. Niven, as at times, explaining like how you guys have to act, how you have to be on time, how the schedules work.
Yeah.
And so, it seemed like it was a learning experience for you just as much as it was for me being there. So I just kind of wanted to ask, now with, you know, you guys are now road trip warriors. You guys have been on a ton. What is that road trip like for a Division II team?
Well, that first road trip we went on, we played Auburn Montgomery first, and we ended up leaving that same night and going to Southern Miss, and we got there at what, like?
It was like 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning
I think I got in bed at 2:30.
We got to the hotel and then played that day or that night. So it was a little different. I mean, now the road trips, we usually play on a Thursday and a Saturday, and we leave Wednesday morning, get there in the afternoon, have a shoot around that night, be in bed early and wake up for shoot around for the next game. And that first game, we end up staying there that night. So it wasn't like the Montgomery game where we left that night. And then after that, we usually leave in the morning. He'll usually let us sleep in a little bit, and then we'll go to the next place, kind of repeat that process, and then after that Saturday game, then we go home. But the Saturday game usually is early at 4, so that gives us a little, like, we'll get home at a decent hour.
Yeah.
But this last road trip, we played at West Florida, and that's 7 hours away.
Yeah.
And the girls went into OT, so our game started later, and our game is pretty long as well. We end up leaving about 7, and we got back this morning, really.
Yeah.
At about 3:30. So everybody was tired after that road trip, and we was all sleeping on the bus.
Yeah.
We made a few stops. But yeah, no, we really are road warriors now. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, we feel like we play better on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's the opposing crowd giving us juice or stuff like that. But we actually, it seems like we play better on the road. So, we don't mind being on the road.
Yeah.
It doesn't really affect us.
Yeah, I heard Trey the other day when you guys played, I don't remember what game it was. It was one of the first games I was back, and Trey was just like, man, I hate playing at home. Because he didn't have a night that's typical of him, and so he was just like, I hate playing at home, I just want to play on the road. Whenever I play on the road, I play way better. And it was interesting, it was funny. But you're right, I mean, there probably is some of that of there's some juice from the other team.
Yeah.
Valdosta has a great... It seemed like they had a great atmosphere from what I was watching.
Yeah, no, they did. They really did. I think... The fans were talking to us. They all had chants and to kind of heckle us. And it was an interesting atmosphere. The gym was nice. And they had, like, some stage lights. Oh. Like, it wasn't, like, gym lights. And so they had a few stage lights that only pointed to the court. And kind of, it was just kind of like a darkness around it.
Oh, interesting.
And so, yeah, it was very interesting. And, like, from the corner, you kind of couldn't really see the rim because there was a stage light facing you and just kind of shining in your eye. But, I mean, I'm not making excuses or anything like that. But it was just different.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, no, it was actually a great environment. And I feel like that's probably why we came out hot. That it was just the environment. And that opposing crowd just gives us that juice that we need, that spark.
Yeah, I love that they call their gym the compound. Like, that's officially what it's called. It's called the compound.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
The compound, or maybe it's the complex. Either way, it's an incredible name for a gym.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, and the way you described it, it sounds magical.
yeah, it sounds like something. It was kind of like our show, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's... You guys are playing a game, but you're also put on a show. I mean, that's it. Especially the Union team.
Yeah.
You guys put on a show all the time.
Yeah, we do. We do.
I mean, yeah. The West Alabama game was the first time when I was watching you guys and just like, man, I hate whenever teams play at this slow pace now. I've just gotten so used to watching you guys run and just make threes. And I mean, you guys are... Yeah.
Jack up shots.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that West Alabama game, they're real grinded out, sit down on the defensive end type team, so we had to be really methodical about how we went at them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they seem to kind of want to be like the Virginia of Division II, the way they kind of just slow everything down.
Yeah, slow everything down.
They would have just grind you into dust, but they're not, they weren't as, I don't want to say well coached, they weren't as efficient on the offensive end as they were defensively, and you guys were just better than them. I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But
that was in the past. We gotta look forward to this week. We got Delta State on Thursday.
Oh man, Devin Schmidt.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think we got Mississippi College on Saturday at Mississippi College.
Yeah, which is different. You guys normally don't.
Yeah, no, it's just like a one-day trip. I don't know if we're gonna leave the day before. Or,
yeah, that's interesting.
Or how that's gonna work, but.
Yeah, I have a journalism road trip. This Thursday, a bunch of the journalism people have to go to Ole Miss for a journalism conference, and so it's
this Thursday.
Yeah, it's the closest thing to a road trip that us comm majors have. Going to the Southeast Journalism Conference, where we basically just have to dress up and sit through an awards banquet and listen to some people speak. And some of the speakers are fine, and some of them are real sad and jaded and will tell you about how journalism is dead and you shouldn't get a job in it. And it's all these people who are like journalism majors, and they're just like,
wow.
Oh no, what am I going to do?
I feel like he's speaking at the wrong conference.
Yeah, it's not as exciting as a basketball road trip, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
there's no film sessions in the hotel lobby.
Yeah, no, we do that a lot.
Yeah, do you guys use the lobby a lot for those film sessions, or do you try to do it in a conference room or in a hotel room?
Usually we've been doing it in the lobby. And so everyone's that's in the hotel is walking around listening to our scouting report and stuff. And this last game at West Florida, there was another team in the hotel.
Oh, wow.
And we was doing our scouting report in the lobby. And supposedly they were, like, supposed to meet to leave at the time we was doing that. So they was really in our scouting report meeting, just soaking up all our...
Was it another D2 school?
No, I think they were like a NCCAA school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
fascinating.
I'm a little confused on how that works, but no, they weren't another D2 school.
Okay. If it was a D2 school, do you think Niven would have just, like, turned everything off and been like, we'll do this in an hour?
He might have.
I mean, could you imagine if, like, John Calipari was doing one of those things with the Kentucky Wildcats in just a hotel lobby?
They're all in the lobby.
And then, yeah, let's say for some reason they're at, like, one of those championship classics, and so, like, Duke walks in and is like, oh, what you talking about?
Yeah, you guys Coach, playing us?
You see Coach K, like, poking his head around the corner? That'd be insane.
You probably see Coach K first, like, from his nose, from around the corner, before you see his face, and you'll be like, oh, that's Coach K, pack it up.
Man. Yeah, for sure. I guess one thing I wanted to talk about also was, I just watched the KD Westbrook game. I know you were coming back on the bus and everything.
Yeah, for some reason they said we didn't have that channel. And we had just lost, so we didn't really want to ask, like, oh, could you change the channel? could you change the channel for us? So we was watching ESPN and some college game. I forgot. I think it was Gonzaga and St. Mary's.
Oh, that was a decent game.
Yeah, no, it was. But I would have rather watch that Westbrook KD game, but it's okay.
What did you think of the shirts that the Thunder made? The coward with the K and
with the
D
cupcake
and the cupcake on the back.
I love those shirts. Actually, I wanted to look them up online and see if I could order one.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was funny. I wouldn't say that he deserves it. But he kind of brought it upon himself.
Uh-huh, yeah. He eventually deserves to get an ovation from the Oklahoma City crowd, I think.
Yeah, maybe like after he retires, if he doesn't come back.
Yeah.
And they want to retire his number. Yeah, he put in a good 9 seasons with us.
He was also a good dude for just the for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he was. And I heard that game he hired more security for that game.
I heard about that, yeah.
And he apparently had, like, more security than the whole Warriors team or something like that. And so, he knew what was coming. Yeah. He knew what was coming.
I mean, yeah, could you imagine, though, he spent 7 years there? Longer? Is it longer? Was it 10?
No, I don't think it was 10. I think it was maybe 8 or 9.
But, you know, I heard him in an interview this week leading up to the game.
Yeah.
Where he just said, like, you know, I'm excited to see some of the old security guards that, you know, work the stadium. And he goes, and I'm also excited to see some of, like, the season ticket holders that sit on the court that I used to talk to. He's like, yeah. I knew some of those guys, and those guys knew me as Kevin, like a dude.
Right.
And he's
right.
Like, but now, he's like, I'm hoping that they won't, like, sit there and be mean to me.
Right.
But, I don't know, he had it coming. I mean, obviously, you can't just leave and go to the Warriors, the team that knocked you out of the playoffs.
And won 72?
They won 73 games 73 last
games.
Year. But what'd you think of, I don't know if you got to see it, did you see the play? There's a couple different chippy plays between KD and different Thunder players.
I saw the one with Russ where he was like, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm coming. And I thought that was awesome. I thought that was great. I was like, and then I saw the one with Andre Robertson.
Yeah.
And he didn't really foul him that hard.
No.
But it just, he just fell hard into the hoop. And I think he said something to him, and that's when Andre came after him. So I'm glad they wasn't taking nothing from him, and just kind of, they just wanted to make it hard on him and let him know you messed up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Roberson play, it was, their foreheads touched. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, this is a very intimate scene. I don't know how I feel about any of this.
That seems to happen a lot when grown men fight. Like, they just get so close that they just put their foreheads together and just start jawing at each other.
Yeah, it's like when John Starks, it wasn't quite as vicious, but when John Starks headbutted Reggie Miller in the head.
No, it wasn't that bad. And Reggie sold that, too.
Oh, yeah. He fell backwards.
Yeah, he sold that.
But the I'm coming thing from Westbrook was interesting for a couple of reasons, I thought. I thought it was interesting that it was, he said it, and then as Kevin Durant was walking away and wasn't even paying attention, he kept yelling, I'm coming, I'm coming. I think he yelled it 5 times.
Yeah, no, that's his mentality, though. He's not scared of nobody. And I like that about Russ. And He'll take it to anybody that wants it.
I know.
So.
But do you think, I mean, Russell can't win a championship right now with the Warriors and the Cavs existing the way they do.
Yeah, I would say so.
Do you, he has to be friendly enough to another All-Star to get at least another superstar there, right?
I think Russ has that old school mentality, like, I have what I got, I'm gonna work with it, and I'm gonna make the most of it.
Yeah, he's not gonna go complain to the media about it.
He's not gonna ask for another playmaker or something like that. but he has that old school mentality that whatever he has, he's gonna make do, and he plays hard for every second he's out on the floor.
Yeah, I'm just interested, what superstar do you know could coexist with Russell Westbrook?
I hear possibly Blake Griffin. He's from Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
He's a very good big man in the league. But I don't see him as that go-to guy when you need a bucket down the stretch.
Yeah.
So I feel like he could be a perfect complement to Russ.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his contract expires possibly this year. Next year, I think.
I think Blake's expires in 2018, but I could be wrong.
I thought it was this year, next year.
Well, that would be next year, I think. But an interesting one. The only thing that makes me nervous about that is I do think Blake Griffin is at his best. He's one of the best passing bigs in the league. That's something that he's kind of developed over the last couple of years. But, I mean, he's not LeBron. He's not Draymond, who's getting a triple-double without scoring 10 points. But,
yeah.
I mean, he can get out there and he can do his own playmaking thing.
Yeah, no, he can. And I think with Russ, Russ being who he is, and I think they both could coexist with each other. I just feel like him and Durant, Westbrook and Durant, it was just not enough ball to be shared between them. But I feel like Blake Griffin could be that guy. I haven't really thought of anybody else, though, that might come. I heard Rudy Gay might come, and I thought
that's interesting.
That would be a good fit for them. Because they kind of need that scoring.
Just know they got to put up swing shots. Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
That people have to actually respect when he's on the perimeter. Or has to just respect in general on the offensive end.
Right, right. And then I heard he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
And he's out for the season. So I was like, oh man, this might be a rough one. But Russ has us still in playoff contention.
He does.
I think we're in the top six, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a one-man wrecking crew right now.
Yeah. You want to know who would be a really good fit with Russ? You're going to laugh at me when I say this.
I probably will.
Gordon Hayward.
I feel like he could. I feel like that could happen.
I don't think it will happen.
I don't think it will happen.
But if you're talking about an all-star who can fit with him, Gordon Hayward doesn't have to be the guy. But he can be when he needs to be. He can make outside shots. He can drive to the lane.
Yeah.
He can be a playmaker.
No, he can. I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna pursue him in the offseason or anything like that.
They won't.
I don't know if the Jazz is gonna try and re-sign him or trade him before the deadline. They think he's gonna leave, but
I foresee them trying to re-sign him.
Of course.
And if they don't,
you can't let a player like that leave.
And if they don't, he's going to Boston, and he's going to go back with Brad Stevens. And Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford are going to win an NBA championship in 2 years.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the fairy book ending, right? The fairy tale ending.
It's great for Butler to have that, what's the word?
That influence?
Redemption. Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward. They win the championship that they lost when Gordon Hayward missed the half-court shot.
Yeah, yeah. And they have that, I guess that could happen. I mean, who'd they lose to? Duke?
Yeah, they lost to Duke.
Nobody really from that Duke team is in the NBA, so.
It's Singer still know. Is. Singer plays for the Thunder. Gordon Hayward can't go there. Never mind.
Singer does play for the Thunder.
That can't happen anymore. Those guys, there's no way. I think Hayward, during that national championship game, I noticed the Bulldogs every single time Duke shot, and once the refs were watching the ball, mm-hmm. a Butler player would come up and like check a guy in the guy who shot in the stomach to make him think about shooting again. So I'm sure there's some beef there with like, I bet Hayward at one point popped Singler.
Probably.
But I'm okay with it because it was Duke.
I don't remember that, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you guys have, we've already kind of talked about it. You guys have the two games this week against. Yeah,
one home game.
Yeah, one home
Delta
game.
Delta State.
And then one against Mississippi College at Clinton, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully you guys can pull those two out.
Yeah, no, we gotta get back to the grind tomorrow, get back to where we was, so.
Yeah.
I think we'll be all right. Just have to have a good week of practice this week.
Yeah. It'll happen. I mean, you guys, I don't want to jinx it. I'm not going to say anything that can potentially jinx you guys.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done that before.
Nah, it's all right.
But, yeah, so, Nick, thanks for being here again, as always.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.